Right. Is everyone in Revelation 6?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, when we looked at Revelation chapter 4, when John saw that open door and he was invited to come in, to come up, and then somebody spoke to him, a voice, it wasn't Jesus, some voice, and said, I will show you things which must take place after this. So at that point, that's when the rapture takes place. Revelation 4 and around that verse 1, right there in the beginning. So by the time we get to chapter 6, he's seeing things in the spiritual world. Now, when you look into what happens in the spiritual world has an impact on the natural world. So when things happen here, you can know for sure something's happening up there. And someday we'll talk about prayer, but we can influence a lot because we have access to the spiritual world through prayer and change things that happen around down here. So then we have that access and that connection. And God gave it to us, and I don't think we've done very well with using it. So anyway, when we read here in chapter 6 and verse 1, he's seeing, remember we in chapter 5 we saw Jesus as a lamb slain, and he took that scroll from the Father who sat on the throne. So let's read from verse 1. It says, now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. Remember, there were seven seals on that scroll. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So that is, we're talking about the Antichrist here. And I think it's, we need to just know that he has a bow but no arrows. So he, and a crown was given to him. It's not the way I understand it, at least. Something that he earned, let's say, through an election or, yeah, or, you know, he was appointed. He was, a crown was given to him. So that crown represents authority. And he has a bow, but no arrows. Now, I don't know if you want to go there, but over there in Colossians chapter 2, let's go there. We have time to go there. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, let's read from verse 13.
What did you say?
Colossians 2, 13.
13.
13, 1, 3. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He's talking about the law here. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, watch verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So what he's talking about, when Jesus died, he went where sinners go, right? And he disarmed the devil, took his weapons away from him. And so when we see the Antichrist, who I believe is possessed, he's a human person, but he's possessed by the devil. He has a bow, but no arrows. So it's good for us to know that, because the only power the devil really has is to do what he did to Eve, is to seduce her. And that's what he still does today. He deceives, he lies, and he seduces. And if we don't fall for it, we're going to have to deal with the consequences of it. So we need to be very sharp and realize when he's out coming after us with his lies and his deceptions and stuff like that, because that's how we win. And that's why the truth is so important, because you always win over lies by truth. That's why it's so important to us. Remember when Jesus said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So we need to know that. Okay, let's go back to Revelation. Oh, before we go there, let's go to Daniel chapter 9. The Old Testament. Daniel chapter 9. So this chapter, especially this portion here, is where Daniel was fasting, because he read the prophecies of Jeremiah and realized that God has punished Israel because they did not honor his instructions to let the land lay every seventh year. They just kept on planting and harvesting. So they rebelled against God, and they did that for 70 years, and God said, "For every year you've done that, you're going to exile." And that's where Daniel was. He was in exile. And then he realized, we're at the end of the 70 years. We're going back soon. So he was praying about that. So I'm not going to go into all of that, but so the angel spoke to him as he was praying. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. So remember when we spoke about it, these are 70-year weeks. So it's 70-year weeks, not 70-day weeks like we have. And it has to do with Israel, not anybody else. This is God dealing with Israel. And we went through that just the other day, right? So it says there that, I don't want to read all of that. Verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, that's 69 weeks. So from the command to rebuild Jerusalem after 70 years of just lying there. Nobody's there. It's fallen down and destroyed. And this king gave an instruction to rebuild. He even financed. That's what the books of Nehemiah and Esther are about. So they went and rebuilt the walls and the temple, all of that. So now, until Messiah the Prince, so from that time, till the time of Jesus, 69 weeks. It says here, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks to the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And you can read about that in Nehemiah. Verse 26, "And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off or executed, but not for himself. So Jesus is talking about his crucifixion, that he was going to be executed, but not for what he did. He was executed for what we did. And the Jews, he's dealing with the Jews here now. They rejected the Messiah. And the people of the prince who is to come, that's the Antichrist. The people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now this is the Romans, because he's talking about 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. And they were just dispersed all across the world. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. That flood, I believe, is the Jews running away, fleeing the Romans, and went into most of the world. And till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he, that's that prince of the people, right? He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Now there's your 70th week. That's the 7 years of tribulation he's talking about here. This is when tribulation starts. It's when that covenant is either signed or confirmed with many people on behalf of Israel. That's when the rider on the white horse rides. So in the spiritual, there's a white horse with his rider. In the natural, there's the man of, he's going to sell himself as a man of peace, a diplomat. And he's like the white horse, he's peace, it's peace. And he has a bow with no arrows. He's no threat to anybody. So that's the Antichrist. That's where the tribulation period starts. It's right there. And so here is where it begins. So when we see these horses, John looks into the spiritual and sees these horses, but on the world, on the earth, it's happening what these riders are coming to bring. So you see two pictures now. You see the picture in the spiritual and you see what's happening on the earth. There's two things here. So verse 2 again, and I looked, and that's Revelation 6. And behold, a white horse, he who sat on it, had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. So that is what he's going to do. So on the earth, people think he's a diplomat, he's a man of peace, he's a genius, he's an eloquent speaker, he's a military strategist and an economist and all of that. He's quite somebody. And
because the crown was given to him, like something happened and they just gave him that position?
I think so.
I think.
Yeah, because, you know, when a king follows up, like we just saw in England, it went from Queen Elizabeth to the son, Prince Charles, and he became king. Mm-hmm. So it was transferred. It's not that it was in the family there, it's just following the bloodline. But this was given to him. So he comes from who knows where. So in my mind, and I may be wrong, you know, when you look at the world today and what's going on, especially with the World Economic Forum and the United Nations, the world is being plunged into chaos with all that's going on, and I think COVID had a lot to do with that, and control over people and so on. That at some point, see, remember we spoke about it last time, that they want to bring order out of chaos. Now for them to do that, they need to start the chaos. They cause chaos. So you create a problem and then you offer a solution, and that's how you conquer people. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing. So I think what's going to happen is things are getting will be getting so chaotic that they're going to find this man who's a very good diplomat. He's a charismatic personality. He's all of that. And people will accept him. They were so tired of the chaos that they would accept him. You know, he's bringing peace and he restores order and all of that. So that's the Antichrist. So before we go there, I want to send you something on your phone about him. We're not going to look a lot at him, you know, here. But I think if you're interested in learning more about him, I just made screen caps from Chuck Missler's website at YouTube, where he speaks about this. So I'm sending you some scripture references where you can read about him, both in the Old and New Testament. There it goes. And I'll put that link on the audio for Marcy, if she's interested. There's a lot of scripture you could see. And Revelation is all about Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to pay a lot of attention to him, but those scripture references will tell you more about him and what he does and what he believes and what he looks like and all of that. So that's him. So he's coming. And, you know, when you go to Revelation 13, we won't go there now, but that's where the Antichrist, with the mark of the beast, is introduced. And without which you cannot buy or sell. So it has an impact on the economy. It's an economic measure that's introduced. So I just find it interesting that recently the World Economic Forum became so prominent and has so much influence and even penetrated the governments of the world. So there you are. And they're all about control. And that's where it's going to come from. So that is something I think we already see the beginnings of, as even in our day. So let's go to verse 3. So Jesus opening the second seal, Revelation 6. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." And another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to it a great sword, or to him a great sword. So that's going to happen at some point. Now, all these horses, there's four of them. They run all through the 7 years. We don't read that they stop anywhere. So they keep on running. And these things continue on and on and on. People kill one another. You can imagine when things go wrong and famine comes and all these pressures come, that people become agitated and they revert to violence. So that's the second horse.
These horses are sent by God?
Well, yeah, look, God is punishing the right. world for the rejecting the Messiah. That's punishment. All of that is judgment. All through what we read here, when all these judgments are coming, that's God judging those, not only the Jews, but everybody else, because they rejected the Messiah.
And he sends the Antichrist as well.
And well, we're gone.
We won't be here.
No.
Yeah, we won't be here. But,
thank God.
he's judging them. And he will, I guess he's just letting them loose. Because that's what they want.
Okay.
They're getting what they want.
And I think we see a little happenings already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, I was just watching a short trailer about the gun violence thing in Baltimore. You know, it is just normal for a lot of people to be killed per day.
Yeah.
There's no law, there's no order.
Chicago. Yeah. That's kind of normal life there.
Now imagine that when these horses are running, that's all over the whole world. It's not just, you know, spots where it happens. It's everywhere. Yeah.
But you see, just come back to Kathy's question, is the Christians, we read in Thessalonians, the church, is a hindrance to where the world wants to go. You know, it says, and until we're taken out of the way, that's when the Antichrist will be revealed. So we're out of here. Now judgment's coming. And they are doing their thing that they always wanted to do, but couldn't do because we've been holding them back.
They, meaning
the world
Satan's,
system.
Okay.
Influenced by him.
Right. Okay.
No doubt. He's behind all of this. So once we're out of the way, they can have their way, and that's what's happening. God is judging, and I think part of the judgment is to let them do what they want to do. Well, there you go. That's what you want to do. You can pay the consequences.
Because many people look at this and say, you know, the wrath of God, and, you know, that is not a godly thing or a fatherly thing to do. So you're just letting things go the way the world wants them to go.
Yeah, but you see, they also need to understand that the world had 2,000 years to accept Christ and his grace. And this period of 2,000 years is called the era of grace. The era of grace comes to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Church is taken out of the way. Now they're going to deal with life on earth without grace. Protection is gone. The world is just allowed to run its course.
Holy Spirit's gone. And
yeah.
Just become evil.
Yeah. So, you know, remember Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth and light of the world. When that is gone, decay steps in right away. Or the decay that's already there will just have freedom to run its course.
I have one question, like how you say the white horse, Antichrist. If you had to put a name to red horse, what would we say the red horse was?
I think it doesn't say...
Well, not like not like a person, but...
Yeah. You know, the heading on my Bible says conflict. Conflict on earth. Yeah, I remember when we were young people and, you know, people started, young teens starting to do stuff they're not allowed to do back then. I don't know how it happened in the States and Canada, but in South Africa, if you were caught smoking by your parents, what they did is, they'll buy you a packet of cigarettes and make you smoke them all in one go. So that's kind of what is happening here. You want to smoke? Well, here smokes. There you go. Well, that cured most of them. Okay, then, verse 5. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. So it's food scarcity. Now, I have some clips. I'll send you links if you're interested. Already, we see the forerunner of this horse. Because in Holland, the government's now working to close 3,000 farms, food-producing farms, 3,000. I have a clip, there's more than one, of John Kerry in the States where he says agriculture is contributing to greenhouse gases and we need to scale down. So they're going to close farms. And you know, Bill Gates is the biggest owner of land. And when he buys a farm, nothing happens there. He's not farming. So food scarcity is coming. So we already see all of this. Look at the violence that's in the world today that we didn't have 10 years ago. It's increasing. So these horses are not running yet, but we can see those things happening already on the earth. So that will come on a much greater scale. So when it says there, verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for denarius. Now, denarius is a laborer's wage for a day. So that's what you get for a day's work, is a quarter of wheat. It's expensive. Food's becoming very expensive. You're going to work a whole day for that. And do not harm the oil and the wine, which I believe is what the elite will have. If there is famine, when the population is not getting into oil and wine, you're happy with barley and wheat.
And bugs.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, when you look at what's going on, you know, in the world today, look, socialism and communism have two layers of society, the elite and the rest.
Right.
Everybody's poor, dependent on the state. And that's how it always happened. It happened in Russia, it happened in China. That's how these ideologies work. So today, you can see how tax money is used to, let's say, buy vaccines for the whole world. And there's huge profit in that. I don't know if you saw Bill Gates talking about that. I mean, this guy is beyond himself with joy because he invested in vaccines.
All the politicians do.
Yes.
They've made fortunes.
I know Justin Trudeau. They're all invested in these companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're reaping major profits. So they're enriching the upper layer of society. And not only that. In everything else they do, you know, in Canada you have the carbon tax, which is killing people right now. I mean, people, winter's coming. If you don't heat your home in Canada, you're dying. It's not even a question. You'll never make it to January.
It's happening in Europe as well.
Yeah. So, you know, and those taxes enrich the upper layer of society. And the middle class must be... I don't know if you saw that clip where Klaus Schwab says the middle class is what hinders the global government to come. We're the problem because we're independent. We take care of ourselves. Well, they are dealing with that right now. That is what's happening. Life is becoming too expensive and difficult. Gas is going up, and when gas goes up, everything else goes up. Food becomes more expensive and everything else. So that is what we see already. We are being prepared for that. Verse 7, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked and behold a pale horse. Now, the Greek doesn't say pale, it says a green horse.
It says green?
Green. So the Greek word is chloros, which is green. Let me just start. I took this out of the Amplified and thought that was
the
interesting.
The green movement's going to kill us all.
Yeah. Where have I put it?
Well, it's named death,
So here is...
Okay.
Revelation 6, verse 8 in the Amplified Bible. It says, "So I looked, and behold, an ashen, in brackets, pale greenish gray horse. Then brackets again, like a corpse, representing death and pestilence." So there's the color of that horse, green. Now, I think the translators didn't make sense to them, so they just say it's a gray horse or a pale horse, but it's green. You can look it up and on a blue letter Bible, it's a green horse. So anyway, there's a green horse. Verse 8, "So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on him was Death, and Hades followed with him." Now, I don't know if Hades was on horse team, but Hades is hell. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So a fourth, we're 8 billion now, so 2 billion people will die there. When that horse begins to run. And you can see the hunger. And so when there's hunger, people get hungry, they become violent. So to kill the sword with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So
the beasts are probably also hungry.
Yeah. So you can imagine what life on earth would be like at that point. And that's why, you know, when I hear people say, well, you know, Jesus is taking his bride, the church, through the tribulation to purify her, I'm not so sure about that. This is not how a groom treats his bride. You know, let her go through all of that to see if she's okay.
What if people during this tribulation are, you know, they commit suicide?
Yeah.
Where do they go?
Well, if that's a tough question to answer, I don't want to say all people who commit suicide go to hell. We don't know. But if they're not saved, they're going to hell. If you die without Christ, that's where you go.
So their death may be worse than the tribulation.
Yeah. Yeah, the tribulation is only 7 years, but hell is eternal. Okay, so verse 9. "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth." So this is what we call a tribulation saints. Because people still get saved during the tribulation. You can imagine a lot of people who won't make it in the rapture will know the gospel. They will know what happened. And they will come and confess their sins, but they will be killed. During that time, there'll be no tolerance. Even this, we begin to see tolerance for Christians or intolerance is growing. So they'll be killed, beheaded. And so they're not part of the church, right? The church is gone. The church is in heaven. They're not part of the church. They're on their own. They're a group apart. They're in heaven. Because they accepted Christ, his offer of salvation, but they're not part of the church. The church are the ones that overcame. We overcame sin, and we overcame, and we were salt and light while we were here. We served the Lord and the kingdom and all of that. But these people did not. But they accepted Christ, so they're up in heaven, but they're not part of the church. Verse 11, "Then a white robe was given to each one of them, And it was said to them that they should rest a little while to longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So this is going to happen all through the 7 years. People will get saved during this time. And this is their lot. They'll be beheaded, killed, and that's where they'll be going. They're a separate group on their own. Verse 12.
This is now the sixth seal, right?
Yes. And I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. So obviously a lot of smoke. That's what smoke does. We saw this actually when we had the fires up in Canada. That's just what it looked like. We couldn't see the sun and the moon. It was dark all day long. There was a farm just outside of town where we used to buy fresh vegetables and things at harvest time. But they didn't have much of a harvest because at that critical time there was no sun. Verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. So the cosmic disturbances, I mean, this is going to be terrifying. Then the sky, this is the worst of all. The sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Uh-huh. Can you imagine that? But that's not the worst of all. Now look at verse 15. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So the most fearful thing is not the earthquake and all the cosmic disturbances and all of that. It is when the heavens are opened and they see God. That's the worst. And they know I'm on the wrong side of it. That is terrifying.
Did it take them that long to figure it out?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, there are some stupid people in this world.
True.
You know, and that's why I say, you know, they're very arrogant. You listen to them. You know, Klaus Schwab and his, that Yuval Noah Harari, his right-hand guy, they're very arrogant. And all these heads of state, you know, I don't have to mention their names. They're going to pray one day. That day is coming. But they'll be praying to the rocks and the mountains to cover them when they see God. It's terrifying. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Well, you know, when God sent his son, his only begotten son, God himself, and for 2,000 years, had people preach the gospel, that Jesus paid the price, die a horrifying death, shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sin, and we keep on saying no, 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 no. Well, at some point, that grace is going to turn over into wrath, and that's what's happening here. And we cannot say, nobody can say, well, we didn't know. You know, see, when you look at today, The gospel is going out every second of the day through the internet, social media, television, churches are there, people are witnessing. You know, I mean, it's just going out full scale. And to say, well, I don't believe that stuff, and I don't think so, and I don't believe in God. Well, one day you will.
But what is sad is that, you know, all these kings of the earth and the great men, they will, you know, say to the mountains, fall on us, but they will not say, you know, what an awesome God that is. Yeah. Or they will not see the folly of their way, or have mercy on me.
Yeah.
You know, they prefer rather...
They're still arrogant.
Yeah,
they don't want to admit their sins.
No.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
too prideful.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They don't know what's coming still at that point, although, you know, I think it's pretty clear that the little world that they planned for themselves, a little utopia where they're going to reduce the world population so they can have all the resources to themselves and all of that, that's not happening. It's not coming. Something else is coming.
What this brings to mind to me is that we know that there's all these underground bunkers, if you want to call them, whatever they are, and that's where they plan. It's almost they know.
Mm-hmm.
They've planned that they're going to mm-hmm. go underground, and they have food there, and they have whatever it is that they need. But like you say, they're looking up and they see God, and they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And you know, can you imagine you're in that bunker with everything that you would like, all the provisions, everything, and there's an earthquake? You will be squashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they prepared for, they think there's going to be a nuclear war or something. They don't think this is going to happen. They don't believe this. They plan for some big disaster.
That they cause.
Yeah. And that's why they built those bunkers. But, it's not going to help them when all of this happens. Okay, so chapter 7. So there are six horses. There's a little pattern that you find all through Revelation. There are three sets of judgments. So the seals, trumpets, and bowls, or vials. And the little pattern goes like this. There, you read about six of them, and then there's an interval. And that interval is it's not part of, it's not chronological to what we read. It's kind of an overview of what's going on. So it's not contiguous with the other chapters and all the judgments. It is just an interval with a different view of what's going on. So actually part of what we see here in chapter 7 goes right up to the end of the tribulation period. And this is a chapter that has a lot of questions, or had a lot of questions. Okay, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. I don't think the earth is square or has corners, because other places in the Bible talks about the circle of the earth. So it's all idioms. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Can you imagine that?
No.
There's no wind. No fresh air. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. So this is where we read about the 144,000. They were Jews. 12,000 of every tribe on the 12 tribes, so there's 144,000. So where the Jehovah Witnesses get that number from in their theology is totally beyond me. It has nothing to do with them. It is totally something else.
Perhaps aren't we in front of that guy?
No, that's him. JC, you get it. Should be on that.
So we have these 144,000 that are Jewish young men, and they're evangelists. They're serving God on the earth. 12,000 per tribe. Something interesting about that list is that there's a tribe missing. The tribe of Dan is not there. And you'll remember when Jacob came to Egypt to Joseph after they'd been separated so long, that Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And when Jacob saw them, he told Joseph, "These two are mine. I take them. They're my sons now." So to stay with 12 tribes, Joseph was never mentioned as the head of the tribe. Ephraim was. He took his place. But Ephraim was not mentioned. Manasseh is mentioned there in verse 6. At the end of verse 6. So the reason for Dan and Ephraim is because they rebelled. And they became idolaters. They served idols. So they're not counted. But now we see Joseph again. So it's still 12. Now, we believe at the end God's going to show grace to them, but they're not part of the 144,000. Those tribes not represented. I'm not going to go through the whole list there, but so they are Jewish evangelists, and they're going to preach the gospel on the earth. And they're being sealed so that whatever happens there through this whole tribulation period will not harm them. They'll be immune to all the calamities that are going on and all the misery there. They can just do their work without hindrance. Verse 9, after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, and blessing, and glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." So there's worship going on. And this group, a very, very large group. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So these are tribulation saints. These are people that were saved during the tribulation period. Through that whole period. And I believe that they are people that responded to the gospel preached by the 144,000. The converts. Can you see the grace of God? That even while his judgment is falling, he's still trying to get people saved. Because we read in the Bible, it's not the will of God that any should perish, So the ones who go to hell chose to go to hell by rejecting the Messiah. So if you reject the Messiah by default, you chose hell. That's just the way it is. So these are not part of the church. Because earlier on we saw the church and they had white robes on, which is a sign of righteousness, which is by faith. But the church also had crowns on their heads, golden crowns, which is because they were overcomers. Verse 15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And they shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is kind of an overview. We look at the judgments as they come one by one after the other, but then there's a break and we get a glimpse of kind of a bigger picture. We see something that is not chronologically, doesn't follow chronologically on what we've just been reading. So there's still a seventh seal that needs to be opened. Now, you'll see the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh bowl is the last one. But when the seventh seal is opened and the seventh trumpet sounds, it opens the next series of judgments. And that's what happens here in chapter 8.
That will be for next time.
That's for next time, yeah.
So the 144,000, who are they?
The Jewish young men, they're evangelists.
Okay, but where did they come from? They're just here?
Yeah, they're here. They're Jewish people.
Okay.
They're descendants of all the tribes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
12,000 from each tribe.
12,000 from each tribe.
I thought it described them somewhere. They were virgins. They were, are they like monks or something? Or what are they?
Well,
they were not defiled, they
yes,
were virgins.
Right.
So
yeah.
What?
But, yes, so there are some of them that we don't know, but there will be 12,000 out of each tribe. And they're not married, so they don't have to take care of families and stuff. They just go and do what they're called to do. And they're going to go through this tribulation period, and none of all these judgments and the terrible things that happen will harm them because they're sealed.
But we don't know they're monks or what they are.
Well, yeah, the Jews don't have monks and things. They just
no,
Jewish.
So that's weird. Like if they're virgins and they're.
I think they're just pure. They, you know,
yeah.
they did not sin.
Yeah.
144,000.
Yeah, that's a lot. So
but
somehow.
From all over the world.
Well, yeah, maybe.
I thought it described them somewhere.
Maybe.
Because I read that about them.
Yeah, we're going to pick up later in the book.
Later in
we come, yeah, yeah. We'll read more about them. We'll read more about them later on. But these people that they've been ministering to accepted Christ and his sacrifice, and they were saved. But at some point, because of their testimony, they've been killed. Now, some people who teach prophecy say that they've been raptured, another rapture takes place, but that's not what I think it is. I think that as they died, you see these people, we just read about the martyrs under the altar, and the voice said that they need to wait there, be patient for a little bit, because more will come. I think this is the more. This is all of them. When the number is full, then God will avenge them.
Oh, chapter 14. Your mouth found no guile, and They are without fault before the throne of God.
Yeah.
They're the first fruits. They redeemed from among men. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are those who followed the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed among the men, being the first fruits unto God.
Yeah. So these are Jewish young men. We will pick up again on them.
Who was the king that killed all the babies that were under age 2?
Herod.
King Herod. Yeah. Weren't there 12,000
yes.
from each tribe then?
No, he just mm-hmm. killed everybody. Mm-hmm. It also happened in the time of Moses. Moses
yeah.
was supposed
yeah.
to be killed. And so it's every time because they fear that, well, Pharaoh feared that they will become too strong for them and overpower them. So he killed all the boys. And then Herod was scared that he knew
that Jesus
by the Magi that a king was born.
Yes.
And he felt threatened, so he killed all the boys. But yeah, we don't know. These people are on the earth. They're flesh and blood people, Jewish guys. And they're preaching the gospel.
Why weren't they raptured?
Because they had the purpose
to do.
Yeah, that's their purpose. Okay.
Yeah.
And he protected them.
So when you go to chapter 6 and verse 17, the last verse there, it says, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Well, these 144,000 were made able to stand through all the judgments that were coming.
They were sealed, yeah.
Yeah, they were sealed, so they were protected, and nothing could harm them. They could just do what they had to do. I just see in that the grace of God still, even while judgment is falling, because they rejected Christ, he still sends a whole large group of evangelists out to still offer his grace. It's amazing. That God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. So people who go there by choice. And that choice is because they did not accept Christ. They didn't want to accept him. They rejected him. And by default, they chose to go to hell. And that is... So when people say, how can a loving God send people to hell? Well, they chose to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's their choice. It's not that God sends them there. Well, you know, also, if God is a God of love, he's going to keep the murderers, the robbers, the rapists, and all of those out of heaven. Because we're going to go there and we'll be safe from people like that. That's why a God of love sends them to hell. They're not going to heaven. And just take all their garbage there and defile everything. No, that's not going to happen. Anything else?
Yes, it says the great number, the great multitude which no one can number, which just above, we had just decided it was 144,000.
No, the great number was the converts that came in as a result of their ministry.
Oh, the ones they tribulation changed.
All right.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So if God created the heavens and the earth,
mm-hmm.
did he also create hell, or did Lucifer?
Lucifer cannot create anything.
No, he can. God created them. He created that, and that is where they're going to be spent eternity because of their rebellion against God.
Okay.
So eventually, God is creating a world where there'll be peace. There'll be joy, there'll be no evil whatsoever. That will all be dealt with. And none of what we are used to on the earth will be in that new world that God's created. Because at the end of the 1,000 years reign of Christ, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And everything will be new. It will be totally different from this one. There will be no sea. There will be none of that. We'll read about that at the end of the book. But that is where God wants. And let's go now. There can be peace and joy. There will be no evil at all. And it's, that's where God, what I believe God intended for humanity that he created in his own image. So love to reign. And the one who caused all the trouble will not be there anymore.